I'm so thrilled with Ernest Holmes and the philosophy that I believe in, because it has truly opened me up to an entire different world, a world of knowing that there is first cause, there is cause and effect, and consequences. It's about me being who I truly am, the oneness of me. It's just so much in the philosophy and the things that I believe in that I am so inspired to continue and to do spiritual work and to really connect with the I am within me, because it's all God. There can be nothing else but God, nature, soil. And today, this is the springtime, obviously, and Ernest Holmes has introduced a little different type of thinking while preparing for this, for my topic today. He presented the gardener to me, and I know Connie did one half of our talk, which is on the power response to all. And we know that there is one power, we know that there is one God, we know that the power is here, right now, very potently, 100% potent in each moment. And it's everywhere. And this is a knowing that is so exhilarating, that from one moment to the other, I know that there is power. I have that power within me to be, to do, to have, to give, to share, to, for whatever reason, that power is within me. And Ernest Holmes explained it in a very beautiful way for me, and he presented it in terms of gardening, and I went ahead and said it's springtime gardening as my talk, and more so it's gardening really for all seasons, because it's just not a moment in time that we have all moments in time. Each moment is full and fresh and new, and it's mine. It belongs to me. It belongs to you. One of the things that you may hear me say a lot is referring to myself, me, because reading this book, the book is about The Essential Ernest, and The Essential Ernest really gives a wonderful grounding as to what science of mind is. And I've been reading the book and preparing it. I'm like, this sounds like it's going to be good for so-and-so. Or as I continue reading, it's like, yeah, I know someone who is like that. And everything, all, it just turned right back to me. I read this book, this talk is for me. It's all about me today. I hope you can benefit from it. But I have learned so much, and hopefully, unexpectedly, I am plowing through, using my gardening terms. So, Ernest Holmes said there are four basic steps. Now, we know our five steps of treatment, you know, the recognition, unification,
realization.
Thanksgiving, and then release, or gratitude and release. But Ernest, in his gardener's point of view, he said there are four basic steps to producing your perfect manifestation. So that's, excuse me, that's why I wanted you to write down what is a goal you would like to have accomplished, or one or two. I know for me it's a lot, but I had to focus on one goal for today. So if you can write down what that one goal or two goals or maybe three for you would work. But I, like Reverend Hillary, had to really simplify for myself. And at the end of, at the next after session, we would work a little bit more on that goal. So he said there are four basic guidelines to producing the perfect manifestation for your life, and this is exciting. But I'm going to give you a little bit of a synopsis as to what he talks about when he speaks of gardening. Excuse me. And this is on page 78. To make this more clear, even though you may have thought of... I'm going to ask Lorianne to read it.
Okay.
Could you read from here? For me? My eyes are a little blurred.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The highlighted part? What you are deeply feeling is usually what you are establishing in mind as cause. It is the pattern for what you will receive. Continue? Okay. To make this more clear, even though you may have thought of it before, think about the soil in the garden. When you wish to produce a crop of any kind, you first prepare the soil, using your best knowledge to get it into the right condition so it will bring forth what you want to grow there. When the earth is well prepared, free from obstructions, properly fertilized, and in every way made ready to receive the seed, when the rain and the sun have done their part, and you have carefully selected your seed and made your plans, then you begin the planting. You plant only those seeds that will grow into what you want in your garden. You may want a row of radishes in between one of beets, one of carrots. Close by, in the same soil, you plant cabbages, and then the next, perhaps watermelons. From the good, reliable, dependable soil, the radish seed draws whatever is needed to produce white radishes with red skin. But from exactly the same soil, in the next row, you get carrots, bright orange, yellow, all the way through, and tasty. And tasting not one bit like the radish. On the other side are deep red beets of still another texture and taste. All the other kinds of seeds bring forth according to their own natures, and this is the point. You knew they would. This is why you planted them. No one is wise enough to pick out the soil, the chemicals, to produce the different results. But then no one has two. Your part is fourthfold. Get the soil ready, choose the right seeds, plant them, and give the garden the right care and attention. The marvelously wise soil of Mother Nature takes charge of the processes of production.
Thank you so much. So that's our background. And we're just going to go straight into what is the soil. And we know that the soil, for us, in order for us to have the most favorable outcome, we truly have to have a good foundation. And the good foundation is the soil. What soil are we planting in? And so the soil is known as universal subjective mind, known as the law. And this universal subjective mind has been a little point of sometimes I'm not understanding exactly what it is. So Frederick Bales, he's also one of, he wrote a book on understanding science of mind, basic principles of science of mind. And I think his explanation is the best for me, because what he spoke about was the ocean. Now the ocean is one, it's just one huge, you know, water level. It has a surface, which we can see. We can see stuff floating around. We see debris. We see frauds. We see all this good stuff. And we have depth. Now, the depth, it's still very much connected. There is no place where surface and depth is, you can see any demarcation. It's just the one. However, the depth has all the action that is going on. Everything that is happening on the surface is literally still happening at the depth, but the depth has a stillness to it. It has a knowing. It has all the junk that has fallen from the surface all the way into it, and it holds it there, and it can bring it up at any point with any type of raucousness in the ocean, any type of thing that would cause the ocean to start spewing stuff from deep within. And I found that it was the easiest thing for me to understand, because like the surface mind, I literally use my mind to think. It's like dialing my phone. I choose the numbers that I need to dial. It's like playing a piano. I've been recently wanting to play the piano, and so I literally have to think about where my fingers, which notes my fingers are going to go to. And, you know, it's just the constant thinking process, the directing of my thoughts. What am I thinking and where am I sending my thoughts? And I sort of put that as the objective or conscious mind. That is the consciousness. That's where I am at any point in time. I am thinking, consciously thinking. And the depth part of the ocean is the subjective, which is the universal. It's the big, deep, wide depth and breadth of the universe, of God, of all there is. And so the way I see it, you know, eventually after learning to play the piano, eventually that stuff falls away, because now I don't have to think as hard to where do I put my finger, which finger goes with what note. It just falls way down into the objective, into the subjective mind. It goes into the depths, and it comes up whenever I need it. So I go to a piano and I could say, okay, do re mi fa, so I know where exactly these notes are, and it just comes up. Where does it come from? It comes from the depths of who I am. It comes from that universal mind that holds the memory of all there is. For every moment in my life, in your life, there is that memory holder. And so this is one way that I felt comfortable about explaining the subjective, universal subjective mind. Now, so the words that we can bank on today is I choose, which comes from my conscious thinking mind. All right. So with the conscious mind, we weigh values, we weigh reasons for and against, we judge, we decide, we deliberately choose what we want to do, what we want to be, what we want to have. This is with the conscious mind. And we deliberately choose these thoughts, the thoughts that we think. So all these are our choices, and these are made with our conscious thinking. So choosing is an everyday word that should really be right at our forefront because it will make a huge difference. So we choose a deeper mind response. So deeper mind or unconscious mind, it is the creating, the manufacturing phase of mind that takes what surface mind gives it and turns thoughts into things. So surface mind or conscious mind gives the directions, gives the directives to the deeper mind, which is one mind. Don't get me wrong, it's only one mind. There is no distinction. However, beneath the surface, deeper mind works ceaselessly to turn thoughts into things. What happens, there is a pattern. Thoughts carry a pattern with it. Any thought at all. And deeper mind literally takes these patterns and presents them into things manifested in our lives. And so, beneath the surface, it works ceaselessly to turn thoughts into things, both good and bad, into, and I'm using the word bad, normally I don't like using it, but it's a word that could make a differentiation as to what we want and what we don't want, into the outward conditions of our lives. Deeper mind has no power of choice. It never reasons. It can never refuse to take what our conscious mind is giving it. It must always work from a pattern, which is the pattern of our thoughts. It has no choice but to work from these patterns that come from the surface mind or come from our conscious mind. It must always respond. It must always say yes. It's like a servant. We say what we want done, and it's done. It's yes, it's done. It can only do. So, like the soil that must accept any seed, deeper mind or universal mind must and will accept any thought. So, going back to the gardening scenario, mind, or God, which we would call soil right now, is the most reliable agent in the world for bringing our choices into fruition or into form. The soil is a very dependable, it's a very reliable, and it functions as naturally as real soil that we can literally put our hands in and work with plants and seeds. So Ernest Holmes, he mentioned that there were four paths to getting results. So knowing all this as a background, knowing that there is a universal mind that has and knows all things, knowing that our choices will in fact come into manifestation because of this wonderful universal mind, we go into the fourfold paths to getting results. The first one, he said, get the soil ready. The second one is choose the right seeds. Third, plant them. And the fourth one, give the garden the right care and attention. So how do I get the soil ready? Remember, the soil takes whatever you choose to plant in it, and it produces accordingly. So you are the one who determines what kind of results you are looking for. You are the one that makes that decision. The soil has nothing to do with what is put into it. So consciously, I am declaring this is what I am planting right here, right now, into the soil that will absolutely bring forth growth. So decide and choose to remove from the creative soil anything that may seem negative or that would impact not having the manifestation or the outcome that you want. So taking care of the soil, getting the soil ready, would absolutely mean that we should be at peace with ourselves, removing everything that would obstruct the right development of the soil and of the good that we are seeking. And you and you and you are the only one, and myself are the only ones that would really know what is obstructing me. What is obstructing me from truly declaring and sending my good into universal law for it to come true? And so we'll go into that a little bit later. So one of the things Ernest Holmes was saying, he said, remove the stones, remove the rocks, and I put, remove the rocks of doubt, remove the rocks of distrust, remove the rocks that sometimes we have an attitude that it's so hard to break, so hard to bend. And these attitudes, we know tried and true, we've done them before, but we continue to do them. Why? Maybe because it feels safe. You would know. But this is a time to really think of what it is that is preventing me from getting the source of my good. And so remove the stones and the gravel of blame and of guilt. Being kind to ourselves, knowing that in each moment our power is right here, right now. The past is gone, and yeah, we can go back and blame, and we can be so guilty about the past. But guess what? There is no power there. The power we have is right here, right now. And we can make a conscious decision, a conscious choice to say, this is what I would do. Because if I say it, my word has power, it goes into deeper mind, it goes into universal mind, and voila, manifestation. Alright, so remove the many weeds, the hard chunks of earth or rubbish, Ernest Holmes says. These could be likened unto like old complexes, old attitudes, and old habits that linger on for a long time. These will certainly ruin your harvest of good. So, be poised, be calm, and be at peace. We have a really good knowledge of how our good comes to us. That's a huge start. So we know once we plant something that we don't just sit there and worry about whether the seed is going to grow. We let it go because we literally think we have done a good job with the soil. We put whatever needs to be put in, and we plant the seed and we let it go. We don't worry. So it's the same thing with our own self. Whatever seed we have planted for our highest and best good, let it go. Be at peace. Be calm. Be filled with happy expectancy. Yay! It's going to grow! Serenely trusting in the fulfillment of your highest good. Be in quiet trust and in perfect confidence that this good will absolutely come true, be manifested. So you decide with your conscious mind and then commit your action to the law. Commit your action to God. Commit your action to the soil. Commit your action to the deeper, more objective mind that can only say yes, and it will manifest for you. So the second thing is choosing the right seeds. You and only you know what you want again. and you know and how you want to feel when you receive it. Ernest Holmes talked about feeling, which were the first paragraph. When you are deeply feeling, what you are deeply feeling is usually what you are establishing in mind as cause. It is the pattern for what you will receive. So pay attention to the depths of your feelings, because your feeling, it's an emotional thing, and that's how patterns are formed. Patterns are formed with the emotion and the conviction we have behind what we want. And so be careful about wanting one thing, but our emotions are saying something completely different. All right. So you decide with your conscious mind and let the law manifest for you, taking into consideration how you feel and the conviction you have behind what you want. So remember, what you are deeply feeling is usually what you're establishing in mind. You cannot afford to be planting bad seeds. And I'm using the word bad again, but I'm sure we understand what bad would mean. It's something that we don't want accomplished in our lives. Something that it's, you know, we are... I wouldn't say avoid, because avoid just puts it right in front of our faces. But plant only what you want. Plant the good that you want. And avoid the seeds of the negative seeds of worries, negative seeds of fear, anger, negative seeds of comparison, comparing what another person has and truly not feeling good about what they have, because it should be you receiving that. And so this is something that literally could put us into a different deeply feeling place. Something that we don't think about, but it's something that literally could put a different picture or pattern to the universe. So such seeds will grow just as rapidly as any of your good seeds, and it will bring forth a crop just as sure and just as abundant. So remember the law, the depth, the subjective mind really has no options but to produce. It doesn't say, I'm wondering why she's sending this into me as this pattern. I think I'll have to let her know that, think again. No. The law literally accepts. And so whatever goes in will come out, and come out with abundance, because this is what the law is. Whatever is there will be absolutely multiplied. And so if we put in our seeds of hope, our seeds of accomplishment, our goals, our desires, and we put them in with a good feeling and with trust and with high expectancy, then it multiplies and comes back to us. We put in seeds of distrust, we put in seeds of anger and resentment, and it comes back multiplied to us. It does not discriminate. The law does not discriminate. The soil does not and cannot discriminate. The weeds grow among the wonderful radishes. It will even grow among stone, because whatever is put in there at some point has a foundation. All right. So remember, the soil cannot say no. It cannot reject, but must only accept. What kind of seeds are you planting? And that's my question to myself. What am I putting into the law? So the next thing is to plant it. And for me, he didn't explain it in the book, but I think plant it means just go for it. Take the leap. Have the courage. go for it. Know that it's in you and you feel good about it. And just release that worry. You know, go ahead, fall in love. Go ahead, love yourself. Just plant it. Just let it go. And at the end of it all, you embrace that wonderful expectancy. And then the last one is give the garden the right care and attention. Now I know, and we've all heard this before, we just don't sit when we plant. We get up and we walk away, we go through our normal lives. We just don't come back on a regular basis and try to see what's going on, or even take a little stick or whatever and start digging to see if there's really a root there. You know, we really, truly plant, walk away from it, and let it go. So all spring and summer long, enjoy the warmth of the sun and refreshment of gentle rains. And this is what Ernest had mentioned. What does that mean to you? To me, it means have fun. Let go of worry. Give nourishment. Water your seeds, water your desires, your goals. Not only do you want to water your desires and goals, but you want to encourage others on their path. So you want to water their seeds also. You want to give encouragement to others. So give your seed daily attention. And daily attention is, you know, doing spiritual practice however you see it. Just being with yourself, just knowing that there's only one, and that one right now is who I am, expressing as me, in me, through me. And this one expresses only the way I can as me. And it's the same for each one of us, for each entity, for each aspect of nature, of God. And so, give your seeds daily attention, not by digging it up every day. That does no good. But by trusting the law, trusting God, trusting universal mind to bring it into manifestation. This is not a trust of worry or fear, but one of release and peace and sweet confidence in the outcome. Know that nothing can hinder you but yourself. If you believe that you can, you can. If you believe that the law of good will work, it will work. You are not changing the nature of God. You cannot change the nature of the soil. But you are merely altering your position to it. You're merely altering, you just have a perspective and a relationship with the soil. So our word has the exact amount of power we put into it. This doesn't mean power through effort or strain, because that's a different, that is completely different. But power through absolute conviction or faith. Now, if any word has power, it must follow that all words have power. And so it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.